Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night, and Ryan, we're going to start without pulling off the title card. You know what that means. He's in charge. That's me, Ryan, here with the Mark Order Podcast, joined, as always, by my buddy, Asian Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I am doing well, Ryan. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, tired, but good.
But you know what? We showed up to work, so that's more than what a third of us can say.
Yeah, I don't care that she's claiming she's somewhere else and that's what she does. No, not good enough. She should be here.
Counter-programming, yeah.
She is counter-programming us. It's very rude. You know, what the hell's that all about? But, you know, we'll find her later. So it is anything new besides the world?
You know... No, nothing really. It's a bye week this week for Nebraska football, so they can't hurt me.
They'll find a way.
Yeah. So, no, it's pretty low key, and then this week I head out to L.A.
What are you doing in L.A.?
I wish I could say I was going to start my journey as a young lion at the dojo, but I am not. I'm just going out there for the Nebraska game. They play out at Southern Cal.
Okay.
So I am working down my list of stadiums in the Big Ten.
What do you got left after Southern Cal?
Quite a bit. I was down to about half, and then they added the four West Coast schools. So
yeah, the Big Ten's a little too spread out.
I have, you know, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and then some of the traditional Big Ten schools like Indiana, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin.
But did you do any of the Big Ten schools? My gosh.
I did Maryland. I did Penn State. I did Rutgers. I've done Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, Nebraska. Let's see, who else? I think I'm missing something.
Oh, you've done Rutgers. I'm sorry.
Hey, I did my East Coast stint. Penn State wasn't easy to get to. Come on.
No, you're right. Penn State wouldn't be. I just don't think Rutgers has that nice of a stadium, personally.
They do not. It's very old.
And I've sat in, like, I worked for a guy who was a big Rutgers alum, and he had money, and he would give money to the school, so he had, like, the really nice seats. Mm-hmm. And even those, I was like, I'm not very impressed with this.
I wasn't very impressed with the parking situation.
No, that's bad, too.
The fact that they didn't have any parking, you couldn't park anywhere on campus because it was all reserved already.
And like, I understand that they're not one of those other schools, but they want to be. So you'd think you would do something to your, you know, to your arena or your stadium, I should say, to make it nicer and appeal to people. But
yeah. What's new in your world? I mean, we're beyond baseball. I guess you're in the hockey season now.
And the Flyers are not good.
Ah, well, just not your year.
It's not my year, but no, I'm good. You know, it's a tired. It's been a long week, and it's just halfway over.
I thought the week went by pretty fast.
I feel like it's gone by fast, but it's. It's also long, if that makes sense. Like it's been fast, but it's been wearing.
I don't want to dive into politics. I will just say that when I voted, I went and voted in person yesterday. It was the first time I voted in a hotel.
Joe, you didn't vote.
No.
No, I don't. I think you joined a cult.
Mm. Yeah, it was interesting. Usually I'm used to at churches or a community center, but nope, my polling place was a hotel and not like a big one.
Yeah, I stood in line for 3 hours to vote.
Oh, that's too long. That's a long time. I mean, I thought
What's worse is it wasn't because they were. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of people there. You don't have 3 hour wait with zero people, but it wasn't because they were like, "Oh my God, we're flooded with people." They had two booths, two voting booths, and they changed the way they do things now. I'm gonna bring this up in a second because I don't care what it. We're not. It's again politics adjacent, but it is funny. But you had two booths, and you'd go in, and you wait in this line, and the workers didn't know till that day that they'd only have two booths, so I felt bad for them. And you would sign in, and then you'd go back in another line, and you'd wait, and you'd go in there, and the whole thing, it's like a computer, so everything would take a couple seconds to reset, and the guys had to log you in, and it would take a couple seconds, and then it would print out double-sided. Well, I know that was the first mistake, because apparently a bunch of people just kept grabbing it before it got to the double-sided, so like screwed up their ballot. And then people were spending like 5 to 10 minutes in there. They seemed really confused because you had to keep, it was stupid. Like you would select your stuff, it's all touchscreen, and then you'd have to hit next and you select, and then you'd have to hit review, and then you'd go to hit print and would ask you to review again. Like it kept like, so I flew through because I mean, it was very basic, but I understand why people who may not have been as confident would take the time. And then after printed out, you had to walk it to a scanner, and the scanner is where they actually counted your vote. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So
I just had the old fashioned paper ballot.
Mine used to be the kind you like up until this year, you'd walk in and you'd press physical buttons and it would light up next to the name and you'd hit submit vote. Maybe a paper came out of that. I never saw what happened. Much better process. But the thing I was, oh man, did I get away from it by accident? The thing I saw was that I don't care. They had a funny point. They said, I don't know when he said this, because he said 3 years from now, but it's only 2 years from now, not even 2 years. And I don't know if this is true, but Trump's going to be president, he's going to be president during the 250th birthday of the United States. Mm-hmm. So he plans on holding a huge birthday party for America, and it's going to be called the Great American State Fair, held in Iowa, and will feature pavilions from all 50 states. And I don't care what you say about him, that sounds fun.
It sounds like the Iowa State Fair to me, then.
I've never been to the Iowa State Fair. See, I don't think I would like state. I think I both would and wouldn't like state fairs. And I guess how I feel about this is I just want all the food.
Yeah. Iowa, they do a good job for their state fair food.
Yeah. Again, I wouldn't select my candidate because he's going to feed me state fair food, but I'm looking at state fair food now.
Imagine a butter sculpture of you, Ryan. Because, you know, Iowa does butter sculptures. Like they have the butter cow and some other stuff.
That sounds good.
You could have a whole sculpture of yourself made out of butter.
Oh, can I? I'm trying to think. Oh, then can I get two giant rolls?
Like, you're like Pizza the Hut. Just, oh, you're delicious. Slabbing off the butter with the rolls.
Pizza. It's gonna take a bite out of you. Oh no, pizza's going to.
It's a delivery thing, right? It's takeout.
Yeah. I have to because it's coming for you, or else pizza is gonna send out for you, or else pizza is gonna send out for you. I used to know that by heart. How did I butcher that?
Well, you want to segue to is there any news in AEW that came out?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I wasn't good at looking at it today, and I wasn't prepared to be hosting till later in the day because our lovely co-host didn't inform us that she wouldn't be here until late in the day.
I don't remember seeing anything too big. I know they're talking about how they're going to change up some live, like update some live events next year with production, as far as you know, adding some more production truck value and make it a little bit more not somewhere in the middle of sports and somewhere in the middle of entertainment.
Wait, so that's what they're doing? They got their production?
They're going to, I think, for live events. So like in between, you know, dead time. It's not just the ring announcer playing MC, I think, you know. Maybe they'll have some more video packages and trailers and other things they can show, or I don't know, something else they can do beyond just having Justin Roberts go around and say, "Ooh, look at that sign," or, you know, "Let's have a sing along," you know.
I like this. I like this idea. Though the sing along was funny, and "Or look at that sign" was he was very good at killing time. I will say that. That can't be an easy job to know. People are just like, "What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?"
But I think it's a good evolution to the product, because, you know, people always, you know, you have some of the people who kind of just rag on AEW live events and being, you know, pretty barren or, you know, pretty sparse and just kind of a super indie. And I think, you know, 5 years in, you can really sink your teeth into it with the extra money now and some other things like that. You can really up the production.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have the money yet to apply. So, I mean, he has the money, so I guess he could do it if he wants to, but
yeah,
he's probably, you know, I think they're likely going, like, you're going to see those revamps when they do the Max TNT split, kind of mark the new era. This is, you know, I don't know. But I don't have any other news. There's news from the show tonight. I don't know if, you know, there's a return. So that's cool. We did get news out today that kind of gets put in tonight, that Mark Davis is clear. I don't know if it was today, it was this week. Mark Davis is cleared. So it's good to know that they're not just bringing him in to play a character that can't wrestle, because that would be kind of boring. Sorry, guys. Again, I feel like I'm dragging tonight, but I just wasn't prepared to host the news and notes section. But I don't think there was any. This was, you know, if you were going to be a wrestling company, if you had news and notes, unless your news was really bad and you wanted to bury it, this wouldn't be the week to put it out there. Because no matter what happened, you were going to be the lowest of the low in terms of importance. So I don't have any. I did watch Dynamite, so I do have a lot to talk about on that. And by a lot, I mean not that much, because I don't think it was a particularly great episode of Dynamite.
I'm glad you watched it. So I wasn't prepared for Ryan Guest's wrestling.
I would have warned you if that was the case. But I did watch it. It just there was. Sorry, WWE is a partnership with Noah now.
Okay.
Sorry, I saw that on their Twitter, and I didn't realize that. I guess when they couldn't get New Japan, they had to go to Noah. There's some news.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Omega did show up at a New Japan show. He's going to be wrestling there in the new year. Some people seem to think that was weird that he would show up on a New Japan show first before coming back to an AEW show. I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I think it's a nice favor to New Japan, because they've been throwing a lot of guys to AEW's way to be like, "Hey, yeah."
Well, yeah, Kenny's wrestling over there against Gabe Kidd, and then I think what the Bucks are going to be wrestling, Ricochet going to wrestle with Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh yeah, they're all wrestling, but obviously they're all wrestling, but I think to give the Kenny pop of like his first show up isn't the worst thing in the world. I think it's a nice little gift to them, because they, you know, New Japan does a lot for AEW. A lot of their guys come through, so.
Mm-hmm.
So that was some news. Guys, again, I got nothing, so we're just going to go to a commercial. But before we do, we would encourage you to go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheMarkOrderPod, or go to any of our link trees and you'll find it. Buy one of our four shirts. symbol with words on front, just words on front with symbol on back, and corner pocket words and symbol with something on the back, I think. Again, that's my sales technique. I don't understand clothes that well. I wear plain tees. Ooh, but today I got an Eagle shirt on. Na 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 na. So there's that, but we are part of the Shining Wizards Network, so we would encourage you to go listen to some of those wonderful shows. And if you're like, what shows? I'm gonna have this commercial tell you all about them, because that's who I am and that's what I care about.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to the Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is the Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down-under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. That I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. Podcast for two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit! I don't know what you're doing. You got a slight one in there. If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Don't hate.
It has nothing to do with Manchester, New Hampshire.
What's Manchester, New Hampshire?
Where they were.
Yeah. I never really pay attention to where they are, but the crowd seemed quiet tonight, so maybe I should have.
Not a great crowd. An incredible what chance? I knocked him a few points.
There was what chance? There was a couple moments that I thought actually deserved a lot more response, and they didn't get it. It just seemed weird.
Maybe that also played a factor in why I thought overall this Dynamite was just kind of never got into a higher gear for me.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think crowd always plays a big role in that. If the crowd's not into it, you tend to be like, well, what, you know. So I'm thinking we'll go in order. I mean, I could take us out of order and go with the main event, but then I'll likely forget something. We start out with the Hurt Syndicate opening the show, which was cool. They have a great presentation. They look badass as all holy hell. This was the one time the crowd seemed okay. There was some chance. It seemed like they were good early.
you know, he MVP kind of says like, oh, they're here to lift others up. That's why he's putting out his cards. He wants to bring everyone up. But if you turn us down, well, all you have to do is look at Mr. Strickland. And of course, then Swerve comes out and just says Lashley full gear. And then an MVP agrees. It was about an 8 to 10 minute segment, but it didn't feel that long. Like there wasn't a lot that happened in that 8 to 10. Like, cause MVP did a good promo and Swerve, but Swerve said like three words. Do you think Swerve should have said more than three words? And what'd you think?
Well, he said four. He said Bobby Lashley, full gear.
Oh, he said his first name. I didn't think he said his first name.
Yep. Okay. And I think most of the promo segment was taken up by the crowd chanting for MVP and then crying for Bobby. No chanting for Shelton, though. I like the fact we got the Hurts and the Kid officially. I felt like they used the name online after Bobby showed up. And they didn't call him that initially, and then now we've properly introduced them to the audience. And I thought the promo was a little bit kind of like their mission statement, you know, talking about what they're going to do, what they're here for, what their purpose is. And they're very, you know, dapper and dressed to the nines with their suits and like handling themselves like businessmen. And then you have Swerve coming out here like a raging, like lunatic with like a crazy look in his eye, you know, wielding his chain in his hand and, you know, really short-tempered, short words. I like that little contrast of, you know, how the Hurt Syndicate can really mess with people.
Yeah, he definitely was looking unhinged, is it, you know, which an unhinged Swerve is a fun Swerve, because he's willing to do some very evil things to get what he wants. There's not a lot more to say to this because we have a couple weeks before their match, so it's too early to predict how it'll go. I do think Swerve's probably gonna lose, but we'll see what they do on the build there. So you have the next match is supposed to be Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin versus the Death Riders. Did we just find out that was their name, or was that said before?
That was kind of also, I felt like, kind of like how they like the Hurt Syndicate, where they just kind of, I think, called them the Death Riders on social or somewhere, and then now it's just a known thing.
Okay, because like I guess I missed it when it was said on social because I didn't realize that was their name. I don't mind it; it's a good name, but like, I saw it, I'm like, was this announced? Like, did they just spring this? But I mean, you can spring a name on people; it's not that big of a deal. But they come in, so Claudio and Pac come out first, through the crowd as they do. And then Orange Cassidy starts to come out through the tunnel and Pac and Claudio decide to go meet him at the top of the ramp, which immediately I was like, something's going to happen. And sure enough, Darby jumps on, Pac and Claudio from the top. He was on the tunnel and he jumped off. Very Sting-esque from Sting's later run where he would just launch himself onto people. I didn't even think, you know, he had a Sting-esque jacket on. So they fight around a lot outside. They do eventually make it to the ring. Orange Cassidy has a good start, but then he gets the babyface beat down. There was a funny moment, and this might have happened later in the match. It's hard for me. But he's rolling to make the hot tag, and he starts rolling in the wrong direction. He has to, like, turn around and go the right one. I'm assuming it was planned, but it is kind of funny. He, eventually things get crazy, and then it gets a little silly. Marina Shafir runs out, hits the ref. Did she pull him out, or did she hit him with the
she kicked him. She kicked Bryce.
Like that briefcase, that's very DX-esque. And then she kicked the ref out, and then Mox came out and he started choking out Orange Cassidy, and they start beating down Orange Cassidy, And then the conglomeration finally makes a save. I will give them credit. They at least try to caveat it with, hey, they were in the back getting prepared for their match. So there's no end to this match. The match is just over. I want to call out one spot, and then I'll let you talk, is Orange Cassidy delivered one of his DDTs to Pac that was just awesome. Pac sold it so well. But if I don't sound thrilled with this match, it's because the match was very good, but I hated the ending. What'd you think?
Yeah, the ending, I understand maybe why they do the no contest or type of, or DQ type of finish ahead of the pay-per-view match, but I almost think you could have, I don't know, I feel like they could have, one of them could have taken a loss due to distraction or interference and been okay, I think. Maybe Darby could have took a pin, and they still could have, you know, had to be the underdog to try to overcome the Death Riders, but the match itself, I thought it was going to be good when I saw it announced, and like you said, I thought Orange Cassidy had a lot of his, you know, greatest hits with a lot of his moves. I will always enjoy watching Claudio manhandle someone by just like gut wrenching someone across the ring. And then I think overall, I thought it told the story of just, you know, the brute strength of the Death Riders versus, you know, this part of the undersized AEW originals, right? And we'll see where that goes. And I don't know where the rest of the locker room was that had been out there for so many other weeks. Like the conglomeration came out finally, but where are our top?
Yeah, five? Like
where are?
Why did they?
Dark Order. Where is, you know, all the other people who have rushed out before? You know.
Yeah, because it still was the BCC. Like they should still want to go kick their asses. So like, where were they? Hey Scott, didn't get a chance to say hey to you or Draven before the flip over, but hey to both you guys. But yeah, where were they all to go save the day? I was thinking the same thing. It didn't, like the conglomeration they had a good an excuse for, but everyone else, it was kind of like,
yeah, I feel like every time you know that the Death Riders would have a match, they're gonna be on TV, like, or, you know, out there. If I'm in the back, I'd be like, all right, we're gonna be ready for anything that goes on. We're gonna like stand back. Yeah, you know, by the entrance or, you know, somewhere.
It just, I hate, like, AEW is pretty good about this, but this segment clearly wasn't great, where I don't love when faces seem dumb. It just bothers me for whatever reason. I feel like they should be smarter than that. But and smarter than that would be, hey guys, I'm facing the conglomeration. Can you come watch? Or hey, all you people who hate, not the conglomeration, hey, I'm facing the BC. Or hey, all you guys who hate the BCC, I'm about to have a match with two of them. You know they're gonna come at me. If you're waiting with some weapons, you'll get your shots. Like, but I get it. If everyone acted smart, we'd be missing out on like 90% of the mat, you know, wrestling storylines. And Scott is at the arena with one more Rampage match to go. Oh, you are putting in time.
Well, thanks for listening in, Scott.
Yeah, seriously, you must be. I can't say it's great. Great matches. Then, if you're listening to us, so between after Cassidy gets his beatdown, before we get to the conglomeration match, we have Renee interviewing Ricochet backstage and doesn't want to tell who his partner is. And then the Hurt Syndicate rolls up. And they're kind of like evilly around and very menacing. Like Ricochet's like, we talked. And he's like, yeah, we did, but we're just checking in on you. And they just indicated earlier in the night that if you turn them down, they're going to kick your ass. So I thought that was fairly interesting. Nothing to come of this, but clearly they're planting seeds, right?
Yeah, they're going to be I think they're going to be a six-man match or four-on-four match somewhere down the road.
So then we have the conglomeration, Briscoe, O'Reilly, and Ishii versus the Learning Tree. This is a fight without honor, which is just a street fight or whatever you want to call it. Fucking, it's chaos. I don't like a froggy bow off a ladder into a table, a ladder that got bent in half, a bunch of other stuff. The conglomeration wins when Ishii pins Jericho after hitting him with a brainbuster. Match was, I enjoyed it. I know not everyone's, but I did enjoy it. It was just a clusterfuck, but these matches are supposed to be, and I don't think that's a negative. I just never have anything to call out, really. I do think Ishii getting the pin was kind of interesting, especially with Mark Briscoe right there. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, these matches are always tough. There's always so much chaos going around. The camera people can't even keep up with the action sometimes. So, and a lot of trees gave their life so these tables could be broken. So, I appreciate that, I guess. But yeah, it was fine for what it was. I think it was another good way again to kind of spare Jericho from having to do too much in-ring wrestling. You know, he had the ladder war match. Now he has this, fight without honor match. So he's doing a lot of these, more hardcore type matches right now that where you can get, kind of hide some of the, in-ring rust that he might have from his age or something. But I liked Ishii getting the pin, though. That was a nice little surprise.
So I have a legitimate question here. It has nothing to do with the match, but it kind of does. Are broken tables recyclable?
I don't know.
I mean, they're made of wood, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you just take that little, like, I know they have like that, like plastic or metal around the edges of them. But yeah, you could. You could wood chip them and recycle them. Yeah.
That if I were, I'm not obviously, but I should start a business where like I recycle wrestling tables. I'm the wrestling table salesman. I recycle all the tables you use and sell them back to you.
What would you call this business? I feel like you need something clever here, because otherwise. Ryan pondering.
I'm trying to think of a good pun, and I don't have one.
I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a good pun.
Get the tables.
Yeah, Ryan, get the tables.
There you go. Get the tables. That's my very clever joke. Then Mox, there's an interview with Mox backstage where he says, Yuta's a soldier. He doesn't know Mox. Cassidy anything, and then he pushes him away weirdly and kind of weird, and I don't understand it. He threatens Darby, kind of saying he's disappointed him. It's just some cryptic stuff. I don't think there was a lot to this. Do you think there's more to it than I'm giving it, or
no, other than the fact that eventually Riddler will come back to the light side?
I mean, I thought he'd be there already, and no,
I feel like it's gonna be a longer play, because I mean, they keep testing him and he keeps, falling back in line. But I think eventually he's going to realize that all of his loyalty was for naught.
I mean, he's a soldier. That's all I got.
Yeah, but he wants to better himself and be champion and all this other stuff. And if all these promises ring hollow, then eventually your eyes open and you say, oh, I made a mistake. I hitched my wagon to the wrong person.
You hope so, but I just, I don't know. Maybe Chucky gets to him. Maybe Chucky's like, hey, this is what you got to do. We then go to Adam Cole versus Malakai Black. Good match. The match was a lot of back and forth. Hard hitting. They exchanged some, kicks and random moves to each other, but honestly I'm skipping all that because the ending was weird to me. There was a point where, let me put it, so Cole gets hit with the end, that's what they call it, right? But he kicks out and everyone's like, oh wow, how did he get kicked out? Malakai seems shocked. Oh my god. A little bit more wrestling. then Cole hits him with some super kicks and into the Panama Sunrise. And Black is on the mat, and then he goes to stand up, and he can't. So he sits cross-legged and just tells Cole to hit him with the whatever, the knee to the back of the head. Was it the boom or whatever? And Cole does, and he pins him. And then after the match, Malachi and him like hug, and Malachi walks it back. And then when Adam Cole's cutting an after-match promo, he's like, yeah, respect you, giving me my best match, blah, blah, blah. Don't know, is Malachi done? Like, that is weird. And then also, like, the ending was just weird, right?
Yeah, it was a little disjointed a little bit, because it felt like you had a couple of times where you thought you were going to end. But I don't know if it's that or if it's just this whole what they're trying to do with the House of Black now. It feels like they've really made a concerted effort to showcase them as faces. And the House of Black has now become the House of Honor, where they're, you know, handshaking and hugging and, you know, doing all this stuff, like, and not working the injured ankle and not taking shortcuts. It's an interesting transformation.
The House of Honor would be a really funny transition into a name. Who are you guys at? Were the House of Honor? But it did feel like it was like a goodbye for Malachi, right?
Maybe, but
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that's what it felt like.
Yeah, maybe he goes away maybe he goes off camera for a while.
And this is the end.
They talked about how he, you know, it seemed like he questioned himself a lot throughout the match, not being able to put Adam Cole away with some of his moves. No, maybe they start questioning themselves. Maybe Julia eventually comes back and helps straighten them out.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the likely whatever. It just, like I said, it was weird because just the whole thing was, I can't explain it. I didn't really love the ending, I'll be honest. I thought it was too disjointed.
The hugging was a bit much for the character, right? So, I mean, even the handshake was one thing, but like to see, you know, Malachi hug someone, and you're so used to his character being so, you know, sinister like, and it's a weird thing to see on TV.
Yeah. Okay. As long as I'm not alone, it just felt weird. So then Adam Cole's in the middle of a promo. Kyle O'Reilly was watching at some point, so that's an interesting through line they're throwing there. Cole's on the promo. He addresses MJF. He says, I got my two. Roddy's got one, but we're both going to win three. And if we both win three, it's a triple threat match at Full Gear, which that's brand new information to the rest of us, because at first I thought it was a race to the first one to three. But
yeah, but you knew it was going to be a triple threat match.
Yeah. It just feels weird about the way they went to it. So then they cut to MJF at wherever he is, and it's very like soap opera TV style shot, and he's angry and whatever. And then he picks up the phone and he says, I need you to pay someone a visit. But don't worry, that drama will get solved in a little bit. We do not have to wait long for that. We find out that there's a four-way match for the tag titles at Full Gear, but we have to wait through this mini tournament.
I wish they would have addressed that last week. Sorry.
No, go for it.
The whole tournament thing they're doing for the tag team title contendership. I wish it would have, when Private Party had their celebration in the ring and they had all the tag teams out there just standing there, they should have explained it a little bit more at that time, I thought, instead of doing it after the fact. Because like, otherwise, why did we call all the tag teams out here to help celebrate a team? You know, like kind of promo saying, no, we're challenging anyone and everyone, and then have someone say, oh, well, starting tomorrow, we're going to start having this, tournament to see who's the number one contender. But that's
yeah,
all.
You're right.
I just wanted to explain when they had all the teams out there to begin with.
No, I was sorry. I wrote my notes on my phone this time, so I've been reading them. I'm not usually, but you're right. Why
I think
it would have fit better.
Age or Collision. I can't remember the day after.
But it would have fit better at that moment to do this. Actually, you could have had it. Well, you should have just bring them all out and then you have that moment of tension.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh shit, we're all gonna go at it. But so we cut to Renee talking backstage with Jay White about his upcoming match with Hangman. Switchblade starts to talk shit, and then Hangman flies in and attacks him. Renee had a nice like yell there, which was nice. They fight into the arena, where they go back and forth. Hangman goes to hit Jay with a chair, but Juice runs in and makes the save. Jay fights Hangman a little more. They fight him all the way to the Hangman basically runs away. Jay White threatens to really hurt Hangman at Full Gear. This was one of the ones I actually enjoyed because just Hangman came out of nowhere. And it wasn't like set up like I feel like oftentimes with those and all companies, these surprise attacks, it's almost like done in slow motion. And this one was fast.
Yeah, I had in my notes that above all else, I was most impressed with Renee's reflexes. Yeah, I thought, you know, Renee jumping out of the way with her yell. I've likened it to being like in the batter's box and you see like a 97 mile per hour forcing fastball coming at you. And it's like you either get out of the way or you like, you know, you take it to the shoulder. And she jumped out of the way very quickly. I like that, you know, Hangman got his comeuppance a little bit. It makes sense because the Bang Bang Gang had the numbers advantage, so they should be able to, you know, overcome Hangman in these kind of situations.
Yeah, it'd be weird if they were if they weren't using the numbers advantage, especially because like they're not like full blown like white meat baby faces. They're still they have that like we're willing to do what it takes attitude. So they should use the numbers game every time it's available.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Renee again. She's having a night. And she's interviewing Chris Statlander, who says like she's gonna be the new TBS champion. And then as she's walking off, we hear a screech, a crash, Stat's on the ground, Stat is yelling, what the hell? And then Camille was getting yelled at for missing Statlander with the car, I think, by Mercedes. And then Chris recovers and beats the hell out of him, basically. It did not like this at all. It just felt odd. What would you think?
Only in wrestling can you attempt vehicular manslaughter and not be punished. You know, like you can attempt to run over a coworker, and it's fine.
Not if you miss.
No, I mean, I get why they have to like try to keep Statlander and Mercedes top of mind right now since they weren't on the show really much. And they're trying to just keep this feud going after Statlander has beaten Camille. I think the thing it did most for me was just continuing to tease that split between Mercedes and Camille.
That's what that's really realistically what it is. And I don't know why they're doing that.
Just rushed. Maybe Camille just like walks down on her or something at Full Gear, you know, screws her over in a way that helps Chris, where she wants Camille to help her defeat Statlander and then she doesn't.
I mean, they could be afraid of Wardlowing it, which is like leaving her too tied to Mercedes for too long. Now, granted, Wardlow should have what happened to him wasn't his fault. Obviously, there's a whole story there. But still, if you leave a guy attached to someone else for too long, it makes it that much harder for them to go on their own because you never see them as that way. So maybe the whole almost hit by a car thing, just the way it played out was weird. It was very like, I appreciate Statlander's acting because she looked almost like shocked as like, what the hell just happened? But none of it made sense. We have Christian Cage enter the ring with Kip Sabian and Nick and Mama Wayne, with some security around. He welcomes Sabian to the family, saying he's a fatherless loser like all of us. Cage says that he realizes that the reason Sabian stopped him at the Casino Battle Royal with signing the Casino Battle Royal contract that night is because the Death Riders were going to interfere. Doesn't add up to me, but at least they're trying to explain it. Then Hook shows up, and Christian takes a bunch of shots at Taz, being like, as soon as he got in the big time, he was too much for him, and he quit, and he put on the headphones, and he hid behind the headphones, and you deserve better. You're a wild card, and I think I need you to be part of this family. And then Hook threatens to beat the hell out of him after he went through the security guards. Again, I didn't mind it. It just wasn't that whatever to me. What'd you think?
You know, I thought it was somewhat productive of a promo by Christian, because I like the fact that he kind of explained, you know, Kip Sabian and kind of why he did what he did and how he endeared himself to Christian. So I like that he kind of finally explained that. I like that he explained why he took out Taz and why we have this feud with, you know, Hook. I also like the fact that they tease this, you know, sibling rivalry with Kip being the new son and Nick Wayne going to have some kind of jealousy as Christian favors Kip more. So I like that tension. Although I will say this whole, like, building tension among groups is being used a lot right now in AEW with about this, you have it with Camille and Mercedes, you have it with the Acclaimed. There's a lot of that whole, you know, side-eyeing of partners. So,
yeah, there's a little too much of it right now.
You're using a lot of that right now, but
and it's going to take away from someone else's, and I don't like that. So, you're right, good call. You got to do like one of them at a time,
yeah, like slow, like, you know, maybe do one now and then one a few months down the road. But that's about it. I think Christian, the patriarchy should really be called like the Christian Cage Home for Wayward Boys or something, you know? Like, I feel like he really changed up his dynamic of, I don't have a dinosaur anymore, so now I'm just gonna have another orphan child.
Yeah. I you know, I don't know how you replace a dinosaur with that, but
true.
So then we go to Marvez talking to Don Callis backstage, but before he can talk to him, a gentleman walks up and hands Callis a envelope full of cash and a ring, or ring box, and then he plays a message from MJF to Callis saying, with where MJF says he needs Callis to take care of him, which is of a problem, which is clearly Adam Cole. Don't screw it up. If you do this well, there's more money in it for you. But if you scratch this, there's more men in suits to come after you or something. Whatever. This did nothing for me.
My question is, though, why would he need the diamond ring when he clearly is known to use a screwdriver? And to me, a screwdriver sounds way more punishing than a diamond ring.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I have absolutely no idea.
And also, get rid of this ring, because we're not doing anything with it anymore, and it just keeps bubbling up. I'm ready to get, like, move beyond the diamond ring.
Yeah, I don't have. I just told them didn't make sense to me, but whatever. We had Jamie Hayter versus Penelope Ford. They actually gave Ford a lot of offense in this, which I think she looked pretty good. But right as like Ford looks like she's about to win it, Jamie Hayter hits her with the Haterade and wins. I think Ford looked good in one of her first matches back. Hayter always looks good. There's not a lot to say about this match because it was very, very short, in my opinion.
It was really short. And to your point, I like the fact that Penelope got a lot of offense in, because I can't remember the last time anyone really dominated Jamie like that, you know, in a match. I felt like Penelope had a good 75-80% of the match as far as her offense, and you know, a couple of power moves by Jamie won it for her. So, you know, Penelope had a nice little matrix move into a cutter. I thought it was nice. But yeah, it was a really good showing for someone who has been on a shelf for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, like, she's been gone a while, and she looked good. And I think a nice mid-level heel for is very welcome for the AEW's women division, because I think they have some great upper end, but they need some mid-levels.
Brian, I wanted to segue into something here.
Oh, no.
To go from one women's thing to another. Maybe I have a question for you. And my question to you is, are you coming?
Well, that's very personal, but no, but I know who is.
Everyone?
Well, we all will be once we see a certain person, a Miss Mina Shirakawa.
Mina is coming. Ooh.
Which clearly means something with Mariah May, which I'm very happy with. Mina's awesome.
But did you also catch the graphic, though?
The coming graphic?
Yeah, where it says, you know, Mina is coming.
Yeah.
And then a part of it went black and white.
Oh, I didn't see that. I must have. I must have blanked.
Part of like about a quarter or a third on the left side kind of went black and white for a second.
Oh, we're having
some. Maybe she's not coming alone.
I'd rather come not. Yeah, I was worried I was going too dirty there, so I kind of held back. But okay, I didn't catch that. Good call. We got a hype video for Okada. Talking about him, talking about his his classic win, his Continental Classic win puts him in a tie with Mr. G1 Masahiro Chono. But he cuts a promo about saying Chono isn't as big of an international star like him. He'll be defending his title in this year's Continental Classic. How old is Chono?
I don't know how old Chono is.
All right, let me pull this up. He's 61.
Oh, goodness.
This isn't like setting up a thing with Chono, right?
No, I think he's just trying to talk up like the legendary status of Okada.
Okay, because that's where my pause there was like, is this setting?
Because I think Chono, you know, is very revered, and for him having all these tournament championship wins, this would put Okada in rare air.
Yeah, I mean, I just like, I like I said, I didn't understand what they were trying, because I guess my problem is like, who is that appealing to? Like, I know Chono's name from like back in the day, but like, he's not a like an exceptionally well-known figure.
I mean, it's all just to build to the Continental Classic. I mean, it's all, the whole idea, I guess, we're just trying to build the importance of it, but
no, I don't mind that. I just don't understand, like, I just saw I found the black and white thing. I just saw that was very cool. I don't know how I missed that. But it just, it felt weird to use Chono as your way of building yourself up, but
yeah,
I
almost thought when I saw that little package of talking about Okada, I almost thought it was a way of like making him kind of break away from the elite and kind of do his own thing for a while. So I thought maybe you're going to do kind of the serious Rainmaker, you know, like go back to his more serious side. And so they have the interview with him in the package where he's still very much, you know, the elite character.
Yeah, that, I mean, hold on, I'm not ignoring you. There was a QR code with the Mia Shirakawa thing. I want to see where it takes you.
No. Let's see. You just play that play.
Oh, I got to make it play slowly. Because right now the dynamite thing's blocking it. Oh, I can't get it because the dynamite thing's blocking it. So,
boo.
Eh, oh well. I always thought it'd be something interesting. But yeah, I just didn't understand. It seemed like a weird thing to hype. I don't know. We move on, and you have the Callis family, the Don Callis family come out. You have Kyle Fletcher. You have Takeshita. Then out comes Ricochet and says he's got a mystery partner. So he's been all around. He found out there was a member of the Don Callis family whose contract expired in October. And he feels left out. He feels like they've forgotten him, and he's really angry about it. And it's Powerhouse Hobbs. Sorry. And they have, you know, he's Ricochet's tag partner. So they have a fairly standard tag match. I mean, I don't think there's anything special. Hobbs and Ricochet picked up the win, which I think was needed because Takeshita and Fletcher aren't tag partners. But after the match, Brian Cage and Lance Archer start attacking everyone. So you had Ospreay come out to make a save. First it was Mark Davis came out to make a save because Fletcher was about to hit Ricochet with the Tiger Driver. So Davis comes out, and then he gets attacked. Then Ospreay comes out, he gets attacked. But then the tides turn because Powerhouse comes back in, and it becomes a whole thing. What'd you think? Because I'm...
Let me look at my notes here. It again, I was playing just good seeing Hobbs back out there. He still looks like a big, meaty man. And I liked his exchanging of chops with Takeshita. I liked the pairing with Ricochet. It was very, and they had Hobbs do the, you know, fill in for the Braun Strowman role of holding Ricochet on his shoulders as Ricochet jumped off of him. So that's kind of a fun. It's always fun when you kind of pair him with a stronger big guy. But it was a fun match, and I kind of like this idea of this faction almost of, I don't know, not quite the United Empire, but this whole, like, you have Mark Davis, you have Real Ospreay, you have Adam Cole, and you have Ricochet, or you have, like, you know, Hobbs in here, I guess. You could have a combination of those four versus, you know, the Don Callis family of Cage and Archer and Takeshita and Fletcher.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they hold true with that, like if they keep them together, if this is a one-off. But it was a nice way to reintroduce Hobbs. I think Hobbs was always going to get a cheer when he came back because people really always did like Powerhouse Hobbs, and he'd been out injured, and when you return from an injury, you're most commonly going to get a cheer, especially if you're a beloved wrestler. So I think it was smart to bring him back as a face in this situation and not a heel, and there's logic to it. He should be pissed off that Cal seems to just move on from him. So I like the whole thing. Well, that was Dynamite. Very middle of the line show, if not lesser. I just not feeling it tonight. I just wasn't the greatest. How did you think about the overall show?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, it's probably around a 2.5 for me. But there's some good in-ring action, but no. Again, we didn't get a good conclusion with the Darby Orange Cassidy versus Pac and Claudio match. That one kind of ended how we probably thought it would. And then the Adam Cole Malachi match was solid, but again, like we mentioned earlier, the ending felt kind of disjointed a little bit. So some of the in-ring stuff was kind of up and down for me, but So yeah, it was hard to follow last week. I felt like last week was a really big show compared to the couple weeks prior to that one. So we'll see how it goes with the go home before a full year.
Yeah.
The next couple weeks.
So Joe, we're a pretty quick show for us tonight, but I think we're down one person. It was we're both tired and it wasn't that great of a Dynamite, so that kind of makes sense. So I'm gonna say, Joe, when you're not here, where can people find you?
Sleeping. You can find me on social media at @_AsianJoe. And then you can read my serial review blog that I have linked in my bio on my social media. Ryan, where are you hiding at?
You can find me on all our socials at @MarkOrderPod. Right now Blue Sky seems to be a thing, so I am there, but
yeah, what I felt like it was a thing for a hot moment when everyone's like, I'm going to get off Twitter or Twitter going to die. So let's all go to Blue Sky. And then it went away for a while. And now we're back to Blue Sky because everything else or what?
Well, now you don't need an invite. So I think that's part of it. But two, I think, I think Elon's connections with Trump and all people are like, all right, I'm moving on. The block function just changed recently. So I think that is leading people, but we'll see if it lasts. I have yet to see if it lasts. But at Mark Order Pod, you can also follow me, my history blog here for history.com. I should have a new story out either tomorrow or Friday. Depends on when I get through my edits.
What's it about?
Reconstruction.
Of?
Reconstruction. You know, the time period of American history, Reconstruction?
Oh, I thought
Reconstruction period. So 1865, 3 to 5 to 1877. I have had to make a lot of cuts on what this story. That is a very, very complicated topic that I probably shouldn't have chose for my first one in a long time. But
you have there commentary in that? Like, you have like any takes along the way in your blog?
Not really. I try to avoid them because like I am. So for anyone wondering, this is, thank you, Joe. For anyone wondering what my blog is, I try to make it. Hey Jesse, you just caught us when we're wrapping up. I guess Fightful's just wrapping up. We're all timing it together. I know Alex and Kate will still be going cause they go for 4 hours. I want it to be quick, simple history for people, not like books or overly. So I'm reading books. I'm not doing a lot of original research and I'm just reading books and trying to simplify it for everything. So I try to, I have some commentary, but very, very light. I try not to overly do it. But I do, I each one gets two articles. The first one is actually about the event. The second one is like about the books and all I read about it and some stuff I found interesting. I'm more likely to give commentary in the second one because it's less like this is what happened. But like I said, tomorrow or Friday, depending on when I get through the edits. And I have one guy who's going to read it for me first because I had to edit it so badly. I'm afraid it doesn't read. But hereforhistory.com or @_hereforhistory. So that is us tonight. I know we're just getting some people back and I apologize we're done. But it was just that kind of night, guys. Just that kind of night. So I'm going to throw on the outro thing because people apparently like to hear me do it. And then I'm going to play the show outro.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order Podcast.